Freak Show Podcast. Orlando and the Freak Show. Mornings from 6 to 10. Wild 94.1.
There's a sex ed teacher, and she was really, like, you know, high up in this school. It was a school in Manhattan. It's a prestigious school called the Dalton School.
Okay. Sounds expensive.
$55,000 a year.
Oh, yeah.
$55,000 K through 12.
Damn.
So that means your kid starts in kindergarten by 12.
That's a lot.
You know what I'm saying? Come on now. That's $500,000 by sophomore year.
Yeah.
Mr. Dalton is caking right
Dalton
now.
Dalton is kicking it. All right. So apparently the school's head, Jim Best, acknowledged there was a change with Justine Ange Font. She was the teacher at the school for her controversial sexual education class. It included first graders.
Oh, damn.
Yes. She showed them an animation for the young pupils about mastering your own sexuality.
Wow.
Okay?
First graders.
The short featured animated youngsters having candid conversations about their bodies. And it was done in a kid's way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done very adamantly aimed at children. So it's not something when you think like something grotesque or something adult. It was something very cartoony. And it was with young kids having candid conversations about sexual practices and bodily functions, such as an erection.
Oh, my God.
There's one part of the cartoon that says, hey, how come sometimes my P word gets big sometimes, and it points up in the air? A boy asked the cartoon, sometimes I touch it because it feels good. And then a girl adds, sometimes when I'm in the bathtub and my mom puts me in the bathtub, I like to touch.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it's introducing
body
awareness.
Okay.
And in a realm of including what feels good. That's the focus of it, because it's about learning pleasure as a first grader.
Wow. And these are 6-7-year-olds, correct?
First grade. And parents, again, who they say spend upside of $55,000 a year, expressed their outrage to the Dalton School. Apparently, they've deleted this from their curriculum right now, the film.
Okay.
Now, throughout her tenure, this woman has helped develop the exemplary K-12 health and wellness program, but they felt this was beyond reproach.
So I wonder if this was the first time that she actually incorporated a video. Like, I wonder if these lessons have been taught throughout her career, but now she just found this video and, you know, used that to complement it.
Right, and it was a cartoon.
The head of the staff said, my faculty and staff meetings this week, she announced her decision to leave to focus on her work as an independent health educator. She has been working towards this goal for over a year. We support her aspirations and look forward to honoring her accomplishments as the academic year comes to close. So it's like they let her move on without making it look bad. She was also chastised last month for her Columbia Grammar and Preparatory School's pornographic literacy curriculum. According to the Post, the session was a co-ed session for juniors that covered a variety of porn genres, including BDSM, Barely Legal.
This is the same lady?
Incest-themed, as well as statistics on orgasm gaps and OnlyFans marketability. This was for juniors
OnlyFans
in high school. So look where it went. From here's how body awareness and up to your junior year, they were including the whole thing about
OnlyFans
like
marketability. So you're basically giving these kids all kinds of ideas.
Career,
this is how you
advice.
Can make money.
Yeah.
Because they say kids not knowing is a little bit more dangerous. So in this I'm sure 55,000 got you probably the most forward thinking school ever.
Progressive.
Look at you talking about kindergarten or first grade kindergartners, and they're down here talking about, hey, what's this body part?
Yeah.
And I touch this to feel good. And you got juniors up here that's made it all the way down to incest and BDSM and OnlyFans.
And Barely Legal.
And Barely Legal. All of that, just as far as the scope. That shows you the wide scope this woman has taught.
Yeah, and in a private school.
Now,
I
ain't go to a $55,000 school.
No.
Even in college, I didn't go to a $55,000 school. But I will say I went to some pretty good schools, and my parents pretty much taught me what I needed to know. Ain't nobody teach me nothing about handling stuff, though.
Do you think that should be taught in school?
That never had a conversation with me about that. Did you?
No.
No, there was never a conversation.
No, not
about,
at all.
About... And realistically, pleasure never came into the conversation. It's always been...
It was very medical.
It was very medical. It was very biological. It was body parts. Mm-hmm. It was, this is how babies come about.
Right.
There was no mention
and
of pleasure.
And you're also teaching this to kids. Like, you're teaching erections to first graders who have... never experienced
it. But they
like
are.
But maybe they
but,
are.
Yeah, they are, though.
You get
at
it,
that age.
You get it
at first
that
grade?
Age. You just don't know why.
Even babies
yeah,
will get it.
Yeah, they get it. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you just don't know why. That's the thing. And so they're explaining it to you so you have a little bit more understanding, because obviously the science must say that that's important. But realistically with me, I think that's a little bit early. And I got to tell you, like I said, I'm pretty good at it, and I wasn't taught.
Well, when does the responsibility of the parent, you know, being a parent and teaching their own children? A lot of parents even skip this. You know, they don't even teach sexual education whatsoever in their household. So maybe this, unfortunately, this entire school system, or at least this teacher, thought it was important.
For the parents who are out there who are of that age, with kids of that age, to have this kind of part of the conversation, just interested, is pleasure ever come into... is this a new thing? Because we talked about parenting. We talked about child rearing. We talked about how things change. Maybe the conversation about sexual nature has changed to include this, because we as a generation didn't really get the pleasure speak. We didn't get.
No.
Nobody explained to us how to. Feeling good never got mentioned until we damn near was in college.
And how to get better at it.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody was teaching us how to, you know, how to practice at home or how to.
Market your OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Oh,
we didn't
God.
Learn that.
Stop
that.
It. That's so bad.
Is pleasure in the part of the conversation if you are walking your kids through the new sexual talk, all right? We'll talk sex 2.0. Hold on. You talking about good school? You talking about $55,000 a year? It's the Dalton School in Manhattan, and they've gotten rid of their health and wellness sexual education teacher because she was teaching an animated, directed first grader conversation about pleasure, body definitions, and body part definitions.
Right.
And we're asking the question because none of us... It seemed like a masturbatory infused lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall being taught how to do that.
No, not at all.
Like, I recall stumbling onto it somehow.
Which is how most people, I think, do it, right?
Right.
You just
like nobody sat me down and said, hey, there's going to be a time where you're going to want to do this, and this is why, and it feels good.
And this is how you do it.
No, and this is where you should do it, how you should do it. Nobody did that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nobody talked about that.
Yeah, there's not very... I mean, should that even be in the curriculum?
That's what I'm asking. Because is this one of those changes that has happened where, okay, we just don't know because we're of a different generation?
Why be ashamed of something that, you know, a lot of people...
It's your own body.
Right.
You should be letting people explore their own bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should be touching your body but you.
Right.
Right?
Right. So you just learn from there.
We got texts coming in. 888-429-0941.
Out the 352, it said, I would not talk to that with my six-year-old. I would identify the body parts, but I would not go into talking about pleasure yet.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Once they get into high school, it's a good conversation to have, but I definitely don't think they should be talking about OnlyFans and porn.
Okay, but wait a minute. Now we're not supposed to be talking about this till high school. Now, isn't that a little late? I mean, you're talking about 15, 16-year-olds.
Yeah, you might have split
older.
That difference. If first grade is too early, high school is damn sure too late.
Yeah, because everybody, you know, at least are talking about it. They've already discovered this and that.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
But pleasure seems like the part of a conversation that doesn't really need to be had, right?
But should it not be in there, though? Because pleasure should... A kid should know I'm able to touch myself, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
This is my property. Same way I'm comfortable touching my foot or rubbing my foot, I should be able to do anything in the privacy of my own space.
Right, where you should.
Like, you own your own
body.
But
does that need to be a classroom lesson? Shouldn't that be something? There's some things in life that you kind of find out on your own. You figure it out on your path.
But sometimes it's too late or too early.
Let's see here. Ken's on the phone. Ken, man, what's up?
Hey, what's up, big O?
What's going on with you?
Me and you both have girls. Good thing we won't have guys. Oh. I mean, boys. I ain't trying to teach my girls nothing till they 25.
Right.
But in hindsight, like, we kids got to learn how to cook. They got to learn how to drive. They got to learn how to do other things. We don't teach them that in the first grade. I just think it's a time frame for everything. If they come in, ask the parent what's going on with this, why is it rising, then that's a different story. But just to force that on them, put them on them, make them sit through it, no, I just don't think it's relevant or it's needed at first grade.
Yeah, now,
my personal opinion.
And it's a hard conversation to have, so I assumed that the people who are trying to push this narrative or whatever have tried to create kid-friendly, like they keep talking about it with this animation and stuff like this. Like, if kids got questions, you're saying wait for them to bring it up.
Yeah, because the last thing a first grader need to be talking about is sex and body parts. It's so much other stuff to learn in first grade. I don't even know how you have time to put that in the curricula. Boy, they got a ton of stuff they need to be learning, you know?
Yeah, can we keep counting and put our pants back on?
Yeah. Not right now. Eventually, they're going to learn it. Eventually, everybody's going to tell them something. They're going to be curious. But in first grade, they just getting out of daycare. They just learning how to share, how to have friends, how to express themselves. They definitely don't need that in the curriculum. I'm quite sure they could have fit something else in the curriculum besides that.
Yeah, Mr. Ken has spoken up for the principal and said sharing and erection shouldn't be in the same conversation.
Oh, my God.
Most definitely not.
All right, kid. Appreciate you, fam. James is on the phone. Hey, James, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? I'm a first-time caller.
Hey, first-time caller, first-time caller.
Welcome to the Freak Show. You got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Yeah, I got 2 boys, you know, and you know how it is. When they're full of awesome, everybody's naked, they're comparing, all that kind of stuff. And just, like, the biggest thing for us, they're not, like, asking about sex or anything like that, but they want to, like, touch it or play with it or whatever. And the biggest thing, both my wife and I grew up in households that were super religious, and it was all about shame. And for us, we don't want them to be ashamed of their body part. And if they ask questions, we don't want to lie to them. But ultimately, you know, it's our body. It's biological. And kind of like that last caller said, timing is everything. I agree. But, man, we just want to avoid the shame part because we feel like when there's shame involved, that's when they're going to get after it.
That's why they say don't slide. Like, for instance, when you see a kid playing air guitar, like doodly doodly, because they have never felt it before. So when they stumble upon it, if you slap their hand, you make them feel that shame. Mm-hmm. They start to feel shame for their bodies. They say you don't want that. You don't make them feel that about themselves. So I do understand that wholeheartedly.
Do you think this lesson for your 6-year-old would be too early, as it was described here, or do you think it would be appropriate for his age?
I think it's all about how you say it. I don't think I'm going to go out and volunteer and say, hey, buddy, if you do this, then it's going to feel like that. I don't think that is necessary. But if he stumbles upon it, I need to have that conversation with him because otherwise he's just going to try. He's curious. He's going to figure out himself. So I'd rather be a part of that conversation.
So you'd rather him identify it first instead of you bring it up?
And then have an open conversation with dad.
At the age of 6, yes. Oh, yeah. Now, if he's 16, then I feel like there needs to be some interjection prior to that. But at 6, if he discovers it, but I'm probably not going to bring it up to him.
Got you. Hey, appreciate it, James. Thank you.
One of the questions I had is, like, it seems like you're forcing the conversation as opposed to, like, a parent being able to kind of deal with it as it comes. Now the kids are going to come home from school. Hey, this is what we learned for today.
Oh, my gosh.
Where the parent might not have been ready or maybe trying to hold out on the innocence for another year or
so. But parents drag their feet on a lot of things and come to the party late because they don't want to engage. Like you say, hoping, okay, please don't let them mention it to me. And that means the kids are having those conversations. They're just not having it to the parents. So like James said, you want that avenue open. So when they do, you know, stumble up on it like we do, like you taking a shower and you're like, ooh, when I wash this area.
Right.
Feels different.
But isn't this kind of forcing the conversation?
Yes. Well, that's what most education is. I mean, you know,
We ain't learned Pythagorean theorem on our own. Like, they forced that on us. And everything that your kid learns from them repetitive type of stuff that they learn rotely from ABCs, you force a lot onto them because there's value there. I'm just not saying there's not value in learning this part. We weren't taught pleasure.
At all.
And honestly, we weren't taught even how to do it. And so I know, at least for boys, we've put our things into a lot of stuff.
Pillows,
that was
socks.
Really not really meant to be used. Like, there's, you know what I'm saying? There's things that we have tried that probably were detrimental to us, that maybe if somebody sat down and talked to us.
A vacuum.
We wouldn't have tried to stick it in the vacuum. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, the best ride to yank something off.
Yeah, you could really injure
you
yourself.
You could really hurt 100%. Yourself if somebody ain't explaining it to you.
And maybe I was delayed because no one had this conversation with me. I didn't really experience that till I was by myself until I was in college. So maybe the pleasure aspect would have been helpful, maybe in a high school scenario.
Right.
But at least in having this conversation, maybe middle school, because elementary school seems still so innocent, don't you think?
I think that everybody should be aware of what they have. And if you can make it a kid friendly way without making it over the line, like some of that stuff that we even edited, because it was said, it's very, very,
right.
Very medically sound. Mm-hmm. Like, this kid referred to his. When I said pee, he said the word.
Right.
So you're teaching kids about that vernacular. However, there are kids that we've talked about who are Mensa candidates and kids who are graduating college early. How are they teaching those kids? Are those kids very aware of themselves?
And
are
their bodies. Kids,
you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I don't know everything because I was taught and limited with a Gary, Indiana kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a new way. That's why I'm asking. Is this something that people are parenting and saying, hey, pleasure is a part of this?
Let's talk about pleasure.
Let's talk about what makes you feel
Let's
good.
Let's talk about sex,
baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
We have a professional. We've been talking about this issue with the Dalton School, and I'm glad somebody who's a professional got through. Wait, what's your name again?
My name's Becca.
Hey, Becca, what did you want to say?
Well, I'm a mental health provider, and I work with children who've been abused.
Mm. Okay.
And so this whole curriculum is very interesting to me. It's a very fine line to walk. Like, when we teach children body safety, safe touches versus unsafe touches, most often a predator starts that grooming process at a very young age, and this feels good. It's our secret because it feels good.
Mm.
So when you start that conversation young with, yes, this is a body function, yes, it can feel good, and only you have that right to say what feels good and what feels good on your body. So what is safe versus unsafe.
By definition, this does feel good, but it's a private thing for just you.
Yes. Because people, you know, and especially parents, I have a one-year-old girl. So, like, the concept of, like, having this conversation with her, I'm like, I do this professionally every day, and oh, my God, I have to have this conversation with my daughter someday.
Yeah.
As a parent, we freak out because that's our first response. We live in a society where we have, somebody previously talked about the shame of sexuality,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, no, don't touch it. That's gross. Don't do that. Like, we shame things because that's how we've been taught. When we take the shame off of it and just kind of frame it as this is natural, because children as young as 4 will find out, oh, hey, if I touch this, this feels good.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. I do appreciate you adding this, because this is the professional aspect we wanted in the conversation.
Yes.
So thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
The Freak Show Podcast. Orlando and the Freak Show. Mornings from 6 to 10. Wild 94.1.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.